Hello, everyone, and welcome into FCC Talk. I'm your host, John Rhodes, the Children and Family Minister here at First Christian Church, and join with me today is Shaylee Stance, the We Kids Director here at First Christian Church. How are you, Shaylee?
I'm good, John. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for joining me today. It's been a little bit of a hectic week. We were supposed to have CJ on, but he had to stay home today. And so Chris was maybe going to come on, but I was like, well, let's bring Shaylee on. We haven't had her on in a while. So we're glad to have you with us again today, Shaylee. And Shaylee, your day was not exactly what you thought because of the weather as well, correct?
Correct. I'm supposed to be in the woods looking for morel mushrooms right now, but I'll wait another couple of days. It's okay.
That's what the weather will do to us. So,
that's right.
Hopefully we're supposed to have good weather this weekend. So we'll see how that goes. But
I hope so.
Yes, I do as well. Well, everyone, we have some fun topics to talk about today. I wouldn't say there's anything bad to talk about, which is kind of refreshing. The past couple of weeks, we've had pastors getting sued and other pastors refusing to use the word resurrection on their invitations and other stuff. So this one I think is mostly good information that will be fun to talk about. Shaylee, before we get started, it is our first topic, so I have to ask, how do you feel about Chick-fil-A chicken?
It's the Lord's chicken. It's my favorite. Like,
yeah.
I'm excited we have a Chick-fil-A in Terre Haute and I don't have to drive to Indy to get it anymore.
Would you drive all the way to Indy just for Chick-fil-A chicken?
I mean, anytime that I was in the Plainfield area, I always ate either Chick-fil-A or Chili's because we didn't have those in Terre Haute. I mean, we had Chili's in Terre Haute for a short time, but it didn't last very long. But yes, Chili's and Chick-fil-A were the top two like franchises that I would eat at in the Plainfield area.
Yeah, I remember Chili's in Terre Haute, and then it became some kind of crab shack.
Now it's an empty building.
Yeah. No, I guess that's just not a good location. Maybe restaurants that stop opening up.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's got some bad luck, that's for sure.
Yeah, it does. All right. Hey, our first topic is Chick-fil-A. Even though they're still closed on Sundays, they are setting sales records in, 2023. They set a sales record, and they just keep getting bigger and expanding and growing. So back in 2021, they increased their profits that year to $15 billion. The next year in 2022, it increased to, what is that? $18.81 billion, and now we are seeing Chick-fil-A increase by 14.7% to $21.58 billion. That's a lot of dead chickens.
Yeah.
That's what always goes through my mind is how many chickens were sacrificed so Chick-fil-A could be. Right. But it's truly astounding, Shaylee, that a restaurant that has chosen to close on Sundays, they're open one less day of the week. Some might even argue that Sundays are one of the busiest days to go out to eat with everybody. It's the end of the weekend. You don't want to cook. You want to get into the next week and just kind of, reset a little bit. A lot of people go out after church and things like that. But Chick-fil-A, they've managed to do very, very well. Their competitors like Popeyes has made $5.51 billion. KFC made $5.17 billion this last year. So, I mean, they're just breaking records. And really anybody else who's in the chicken business like they are is coming nowhere close to the amount of money that Chick-fil-A is making. Shaylee, what's your reaction to a restaurant that is choosing to honor God's commandment of resting on one day of the week, doing better and excelling better than everyone else?
I think it's awesome, really. I appreciate places that are open on Sunday so I can go to lunch after church. Yes. Would I understand if more places were closed on Sunday so they could go to church and spend time with their families? Absolutely. I think it's great that they stick to that commandment and they honor God, and it's very clear in their business model that God's first and they're blessed to be able to, share good chicken with people. So, I mean, a lot of our local businesses here are closed on Sunday and they're just as busy during the week and doing well that they don't, they don't need to be open on Sunday. And sometimes they're closed on Monday as well. And that's just kind of how it flows. But I think it's great that Chick-fil-A sticks by it. They haven't been pressured to open. They, you know, have stood firm in the no, we're honoring God and we're resting, and we encourage our employees to rest. And I mean, I think good for them. I think people are starting to kind of see more respect towards people holding true to their values.
But, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a value that Chick-fil-A set, and it's something that obviously has a, you know, religious meaning that we agree with. And so that's important. As somebody who does work on Sundays, because I work at the church and you do as well, it's important to find time throughout the week to rest at other times during the week as well, which can be difficult with somebody in your household who also works during the week and trying to find that time. It's not always the easiest, but you know, I think that when we stay true and stay faithful to what God has commanded us to do, I'm not, you know, saying, you know, prosperity gospel here, but I am saying that, you know, God recognizes that. And I think that God wants to bless that and, you know, show us that, you know, you will be taken care of and you will be provided for if you follow me. You don't have to worry about being closed one day of the week and then you're not gonna, you know, have enough money to run your business or something like that. I think it's interesting how many other businesses have, like you said, had to be closed either on Sundays or maybe on a Monday or something like that during the week. I know a lot of Mexican restaurants will be closed on Monday. You know, Sunday's a big day for them and then they close on Monday, especially around here. I know the coffee shop, Mary and Emily's, the Gotcha Coffee, I know they're closed on Monday, and they do that kind of stuff. And so I don't know, Shaylee, you tell me, is it kind of like a blessing in disguise that, like, I'm not trying to say that the workforce not being great right now is a blessing in disguise, and we don't need to get into the politics of that because we don't get into the politics here. But I mean, you tell me, like, do you see that there being less people to work is maybe kind of a positive, that it's kind of forcing some of these businesses to say, yeah, we are going to take one day this week, whether it be Sunday, whether it be Monday, whatever it is, and say, you know what, we're just going to give our workers a break and be closed and go from there.
I mean, I think it is I think it's a double blessing, because you have employers that are recognizing that their employees need a day of rest. Like, you don't have to be open 24/7 to have a good business. You don't have to be open 24/7 to have quality employees. But I also think by restaurants being closed on Sundays kind of forces people to spend time with their families. Like, you know, I work 6 days a week. So yes, Sunday after church, where I'm technically working, but still get to enjoy going to church and serving, you know, the last thing I want to do is cook. However, I also would love to have that fellowship with, like, my whole family, eating a meal and, you know, bringing kind of those values back. But a day off, you know, everybody thinks of the weekend. Most people have a Monday through Friday job, but for 6 years of my life, I worked weekends. And so I didn't have the time with my family because my brothers were in school, my parents worked during the week, and I was, you know, right out of high school and working weekends. So my days off were different than everybody else's days off. So we had to, like, plan that time. And luckily, you know, holidays would fall on certain days where everybody would be off. But I think people are starting to value time. And so they get more than just a holiday together or, and, you know, a weekend that may not be a weekend for everybody, but, you know, maybe somebody's weekend is Monday, Tuesday, and that's where they're getting their time together. So I think, you know, I think people are starting to value time. I think 2020 changed things for a positive when people realized, you know, the world doesn't have to function 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Like, it can slow down. And I think people appreciated the slowdown. I think they appreciated the time at home. And, you know, a lot of businesses struggled to open back up, but they've opened back up with varied hours. We don't have 24-hour Walmarts anymore. And, you know, maybe Walmart saw a little bit of a hit from that. And I know people that maybe work night shift preferred to shop when they got off work, and, you know, they appreciated it being open late at night, but it doesn't have to happen. And I think the more people stop utilizing things that are open 24 hours a day and utilize them in a time that, like, makes sense, I guess, then maybe businesses will shift again. But I think 2020 really just kind of set it off going forward, that they realized, you know, we can set business hours and we can set boundaries and people are going to go with it or they're not. And nobody, I mean, some people lost money, yes, and some people closed their doors for good, but a lot of people came back and their hours changed and people have just accepted it for what it is. I guess, you know, the new normal, however that phrase was, you know, been around the last 4 years, but
we'll say we've been on new normal for 3 or 4 years now.
Yeah. But I think that 2020, like, I think it was a blessing, you know, in disguise too. People really started to value time again. And so I think Chick-fil-A was kind of trending before it was trending, I guess, like right. Keeping that time and studying a boundary.
Yeah. I mean, you know, God always has a way of being able to work in bad situations. And obviously there were a ton of bad situations in COVID. Tons of people got sick. I know some people lost family members and, you know, bills and things like that from being in the hospital increased. But, you know, God has a way of taking something that, you know, we see only the terrible things in it, and they are terrible. Don't get me wrong. But he says, look, I'm going to use this in such a way that is going to benefit society and going to benefit people. And I also think, like, you know, the world eventually autocorrects to God. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, we try to work really, really hard and we try to do all these things, and eventually God's going to say, you need to rest. And so however that happens, I'm not saying COVID was a way that God told everybody to rest or anything like that, but I am saying, like, eventually when things are opening as much as they are and people are being worked as hard as they are, something's going to give. I mean, because it's just not sustainable. And, you know, God has a way of auto-correcting our lives. And sometimes we accept that, sometimes we don't. I know tons of people who they strayed away from God and something terrible happened in their life. Something shook them in their life and they auto-corrected and went back to God in their life because, you know, that's what they had to do because they had nowhere else to turn. And it's like, that's terrible that you had nowhere else to turn, but it's also the best thing that ever happens in your life that you finally turn to God, because I think you more than anybody else would attest that that was one of the, if not the greatest thing that ever happened to you in your life. Wouldn't you say?
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, I'm a walking testimony of that. Like, that's my life. I have spent my childhood with God and straight away and hit my knees more than once. And then that last time was officially given to being picked up by God and haven't turned back and can't imagine my life without God now. So yeah, you know, we got a little off topic, but yeah, like, you know, sometimes those blessings, sometimes what you think is not a blessing turns out to be a blessing. You just have to take a step back and appreciate it.
Right. Somehow we went from Chick-fil-A chicken to a testimony of Shayla's life.
Yeah. Right. I mean, hey, I will happily share my testimony any day. It's fine.
That's how we do it here on FCC right. Talk. Well, Shaylee, let's go ahead and move on to the next topic here. So world's oldest man, who is 114. I guess I said everything was happy. It's not happy when somebody passes away. Mm-hmm. However, the message that he left is happy. The world's oldest man, Juan Vicente Perez Mora. I know I probably am pronouncing something in that wrong, mm-hmm. so I apologize, but that was my best try.
Juan's best Venezuelan.
Yeah, yeah. I did take Spanish for a couple years in high school, but obviously did not do me too well. Juan was 114 years old when he passed away. He was a Catholic, was very strong in the Catholic faith, and attributes much of his life to loving God. The exact quote that comes from Mora, he says, when he was asked the secret to his long life, he said in a quote, "Work hard, rest on holidays, go to bed early, drink a glass of aguardiente." It's a sugar-based liquor, it says. So every day, I guess, drink a glass of that. love God and always carry him in your heart. The last part there, I really connect with there, Shaylee, for him to say, love God and always carry him in your heart. I mean, obviously, there's much, much more to this story, which I'm sure you took a look at. What was your reaction to Juan and speaking about his life and attributing his long life to loving God and just the faith of this man and everything attributed to him?
I honestly thought, like, we haven't heard of anybody living this long since the Bible. So he's truly a testimony of, like, carrying God in your heart. God gives you a long and prosperous life. You know, do I want to live to be that old? Absolutely not. No, I could be taken out today and I'd be fine.
Thank you, heaven.
Just Jesus, call me home now. It's fine. But I mean, we really have, we have not heard of people living this long. And from what it looked like, he wasn't really on like medications. He, you know, his liquor a day probably kept his cholesterol and heart, you know, his blood pressure low. Like,
there's something in there.
There's something in there that's got a little, little sugar, a little liquor. He was probably pretty chill. He, you know, seen a lot, probably had a huge family. I mean, what did it say? 18 great grandchildren and 12, yeah, 42 grandchildren. Yeah. Like, I mean, he's got a huge family. I'm sure he had amazing stories to tell. And you know, I would have loved to have heard his testimony. Like, you know, how old was he when he found God and what led him to God and how did he share God with, you know, his 42 grandchildren and his children and his family and people that knew him. But I mean, again, like you haven't heard of anybody living to be 114 since it was written in the Bible. And it's kind of cool that somebody that has lived that long, his first saying was, you know, carry God in your heart. That's it. You know, there's your right. secret. Carry God in your heart. Because if you carry God in your heart, then, you know, yeah, you're probably going to get angry sometimes, but you're not going to hold on to that anger. And you're not going to hold on to the resentment and all the things that I think age you prematurely, you know, keeping stress in your life. And he was probably a go with the flow, chill, just honor God, you know, keeping right. in your heart and loving guy. And I think it's cool, but again, I don't want to live to be 114.
I'll be chill, but just not that chill.
I still might tell people to get off my lawn, you know.
Fall yeah, no, I
you're too darn loud. Be quiet right. over there.
No, I think it's a fantastic message. And I think that when you read what you read about him, because there were other articles I was reading about him as well. And it sounds like the guy, he just, you know, embodied joy in his life. And he felt like God has given him so much. And, he was so thankful for that. Like you said, 42 grandchildren, 18 great grandchildren, 12 great, great grandchildren. I mean, just absolutely crazy how large of a family that he has. And at the end of the day, isn't that the source of our joy here on earth, that God gives us sometimes more than anything else, is just the family we have in our lives and the children and everybody around us and that kind of stuff. I mean, and for people who maybe don't have as large of a family, it's the friendships that you have. It's the relationships that you've formed with people and become close with and things like that, where we really find a lot of this joy and we really are able to say, you know, I don't have to have anxiety. I don't have to be stressed out all the time. And I just think it's a wonderful message, especially in today's day and age where there's so many mental health struggles and there's so much anxiety and stress. And, you know, I'm not trying to say that it's wrong for people to feel those things. I felt those right. things as well. But, you know, I think it's inspiring to hear stories like Juan's where, you know, he loved God. He kept him in his heart and he was doing everything he possibly could to, to remain joyful and to, have his faith in God. So, yeah.
Yeah. You mentioned, you know, having God in your heart, like, yes, you know, we still suffer from anxiety and depression. And I will never say that God's like a magic light switch that all that goes away. But like a few months, you know, a couple months ago, I had a friend of mine, that he like disappeared for several hours. And, thankfully he was found and everything's okay. But it was a bout of depression that just kind of got him. And my husband, Kevin, he was like, all right, what's depression? Like, what is this? What is this feeling that people get that they just feel like they can't go on? And, you know, what is it? And my first reaction was, I'm not explaining this to you because you'll be condescending. And like, you know, Kevin, it wasn't an insult to Kevin. It was a fact, like something he doesn't understand. He doesn't know how to react to. So I explained to him the best way I could, knowing the friend and kind of the life that he lives. This friend of mine has said before, I don't understand why people pray. Prayer clearly doesn't work. He is a friend that lives a lifestyle that I used to live, not proud of at all, but he still lives in that lifestyle. There's just stuff going on in his life that I could not imagine trying to still live through. So I told Kevin, I said, you kind of know the life he lives. And he was like, yeah. I said, could you imagine living a life so far from God, knowing that what you're doing, you have to constantly justify? Like, I remember when I was living the worst parts of my life, I always justified my actions, you know? And so when you live that life that you just constantly have to justify and you have to just constantly explain to people like why you do this or, you know, and you know it's wrong. Like, everybody knows when they're living in the deepest pits of their sin that they're doing something wrong. And you keep trying to justify it, like, oh, you know, you party every weekend and it's living the best life. But when you step out of that, you realize that wasn't the best life. So I just said, like, depression is, you know, sometimes you're tired of justifying the life that you're living. And when you're so far from God, you don't know how to turn to God because you feel like you're not worthy enough. And so then that depression just sinks in because you just constantly have that battle of not feeling good enough, not feeling worthy enough. God will never love you because people here on earth don't love you, or that's what you feel, you know? And so just having that, and like, I pray all the time that at some point I can have that conversation with my friend. I don't think he's ready to accept it yet. So I'm not ready to give it yet. But he's the one that, you know, tattooed my arm that I'm a child of God. And we sat and talked that day, and he has seen my life change. But I don't think we're ready for that conversation just yet. But that was what I explained to Kevin, was that sometimes depression is just, you're constantly justifying your actions and you're tired. You're tired of that fight. You're tired of, you know, and it's not for everybody. That's, you know, this was just one piece of what my depression was when I lived my life. I knew that was what, so that was my best explanation. But to get out of that pit of depression and of despair, I have depressing days. Yes, I've lost people that have meant the world to me in the last 5 years, and I have my good days and my bad days. My husband's depression is more anger, not in a bad way, but like his broody days. He's in his depression, but he doesn't know that that's depression. But it's just having God in your life. Like, I can't imagine a life without God anymore. I can't imagine ever living so deep in sin. Am I still a sinner? Yes, I will always be a sinner. I constantly ask for forgiveness. I don't keep repeating the same sins. I, you know, that's the whole point. You don't keep repeating and living in the sin. You repent, you get out, you move forward, you live for God. And just living every day glorifying God is such a different life than living to not glorify God and living in sin and not recognizing the sin you're in, I guess, because you're, again, justifying that behavior. Is just, it's mind blowing to me at this point. Like, it's just crazy. And so, yeah, I can see how somebody can live to be 114 years old if they have spent the majority of their life glorifying God, and how, you know, people die of a very young age. Or younger, you know, even if they live right. to be older, but still don't have a fulfilling and joyful and just, you know, I don't want to be an old curmunger that's just angry all the time. I want to be, you know, I still want to be joyful. I want people to see Jesus in my life. I want my grandkids to know that, you know, I had Jesus in my heart. I want my daughter to know that I've had Jesus in my heart. And it's just cool. It's cool to see somebody live that long, and that's who he
right
gives credit to.
Yeah, I mean, not only is it the secret to living a long life, but it's the secret to enjoying your life when you're here as well. You know, I appreciate you sharing that story, because I think it is, you know, not that we're knocking your friend or anything like that, but it is a right. reminder for us Christians. You know, I kind of had this reminder the other day when I told somebody that that I know that I was going to be praying for him, and he told me, "Don't pray for me. God's not real." And I was just like, "Okay, you can think that, but I'm still going to pray for you." So
pray for you anyway.
Yeah, you can't stop me. but You know, and this guy I know, his wife, like, they just had twins, but their twins are only 26 weeks. So he's going through so much anxiety, and like his wife is obviously like, they're both really struggling with this right now, which, you know, I would be concerned too, don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, I'm trying to help him, but at the end of the day, like he doesn't want any help. He doesn't think that God's gonna help him, and he's just kind of like, we can take care of this ourselves, and we trust modern medicine. And you know, I'm not trying to say don't trust modern medicine, but I am saying, like, you know, like we have to put our trust in God, and we have to put our faith and our hope in Him. And it's a reminder how, like, for me, sometimes I can have a day where I'm like, man, I'm just really irritated today. And it reminds me that when people don't have God, like that can be, I'm not saying it is, but that can be every day for them. And it really reminds me just how good God is to have in my life, for my peace and my sanity, that, you know, just for Him to be able to work and be with me and give me that peace and that hope. Because I don't know how I'd be able to live my life without it. Like, I've lived all my life with it. I don't know how I'd live without it. I grew up in church, and you know, well, I was in college, and I still went to church in college and all that stuff. And
Yeah.
so I'm almost
So
like,
you went to a Bible college to be a pastor, like.
and it's crazy, you know, I went to Bible college, but I had friends who went to Bible college that were studying to be ministers that never went to church.
Wow, that's
I know, it
interesting.
was weird. I would tell them, I'm like, guys, you know, you realize you're going to be doing this like every morning for a long time. And it's like, well, but it's really early in the morning. And it's like, okay, maybe you don't play video games till 4 a.m. though. Let's
Right.
not be 12.
Right, yeah, that's interesting.
But anyway, we'll move on from the subject there. We don't need to insert John's college stories into FCC talk. So, all right. So next one here, Bob Goff. Have you heard of Bob Goff, Shaylee?
Yeah, I actually have Love Does for Kids.
There you
So,
go.
and
Yes, Bob Goff.
I have another like yearly devotional that I think I got like the 2 weeks of January
Yeah.
done, and then it sat there and collected dust. But
I think Love Does was his first big book that really kind of put him on the scene. He's releasing another book called, not, it's Undistracted, I think it is. Yes, Undistracted. And so he did an interview with Relevant Magazine to talk about the book and, you know, what his thoughts were about it. Obviously, he's not giving the entire book away, but you know, what's this, the purpose of this book called Undistracted, and why did you write it? What are some of your thought processes with it? And he goes into a lot of details and a lot of different things. He talks about the anger and disappointment and things like that that we talked about. He talks about social media a little bit. Just a great interview. We're not going to be able to hit on everything in our short time of talking about it, but Shaylee, I'm sure you read most, if not all, of the interview. What was a section or a piece of what Bob Goff had to say that stuck out to you?
let me grab it. Hang on a second. It was talking about personal life and like social media life. Hang on, let me find that quote. Let me.
I think the social media question was the second one.
Yeah, I think so. But he was talking about how, oh no, it's not that one. Hang on. It is da, 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 da. Sorting out your public persona with your private one. That one stuck out to me, because for us, in kids ministry and being in a leadership role at church, and like for Chris and CJ and Dan, like all of us in leadership here at church, I think people have this perspective of like how we're supposed to be, and it's almost like we have to put on a role and like a almost like a character, I guess, that this is the person I am at church and this is the person people think I am. And then when you're in normal life or even on social media, they want to criticize, or not really criticize, I guess, but they don't always, you know, appreciate or agree with what we may post on our social media. And, you know, that's my personal social media page. I've I mean, I've had some controversy with that, not gonna lie. You know, not everybody agrees.
You never, Shaylee.
What? Me? Controversial? Never. But I think it just kind of made me realize, like, I'm not the only one, number one. You know, I don't know Bob Goff personally, and I try to be a very genuine person, whether I'm on social media or you're talking to me in person. I try not to have that difference. Now, yes, I am Miss Shaylee on Sunday mornings, and you know, the kids that I'm with, preschool age, or any child that is in my care or that I'm with, they're not going to know all the things about Miss Shaylee. And I think that's a big political topic that we don't want to do on this show. But you know, I'm still Miss Shaylee. They know that I love them. I care for them. I have boundaries that I set. We are going to have acceptable behavior. There's unacceptable behavior. You know, that's just mom mode. Like, my kid knows the same things. Like, there's that. But me as a person, I'm me. Like, I'm very transparent. I'm not fake. I'm not going to beat around the bush on anything. I'm pretty straightforward. Sometimes I'm a little hot-headed, and sometimes I take a step back and breathe before I mention anything. But I think, you know, he talked about how he was at an event and he puts his personal phone number in his books, and a woman called him and told him that, you know, I was at your event last night and I didn't like it because you cussed. And he's like, I did. What did I say? She said, you said, oh my gosh. And he's like, that's not a cuss word from where I'm from, you know? And so
I remember being told not to say, oh my gosh.
So
I said, oh heavens.
Oh heavens. Yeah. So
my mom didn't like that one either.
Right. But his just like, I could have reacted one way, but I reacted a different way. And I think that stuck out to me because like, he was like, I meet a lot of people where faith is important to them and they're trying to be Jesus's lawyer, but he didn't need one and you're not good enough. And I was like,
wow,
whoa, whoa. Hey, that's my kind of guy right there. But
take that one and move on.
I will. I'll lock that one in my little bank there. But I think, you know, it raised a good point. Like, he, you know, maybe he's a very genuine person and what you get is what you get. But again, you know, we're all sinners. None of us are perfect. We're not going to make everybody happy. I'm not everybody's cup of tea, and I'm not going to try to be. Like, I'm going to be me, and I'm going to be who, you know, I feel God has designed me to be. And I have changed a lot in the last several years. I've even changed a lot in the last year. So that one just really stuck with me. And I was like, whoo, whoo. I liked that. But I mean, I like his books. I Love Does for Kids is probably one of my favorite books that I've read to Brinley. And I read it to the preschoolers before when I was over next door. And so, yeah, it's, I think that genuineness of his, just his interview in that moment. Like, I liked that. I liked that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I think sometimes we can get to, you know, and everybody needs to think this way. Everybody needs to act the same way. And, you know, don't get me wrong. Like, there is wisdom that needs to be bestowed upon everybody. And like, we need to make sure that, you know, we're watching out for each other and not engaging in sin and, you know, that kind of lifestyle, because we care about one another. It's not, you know, because I don't like that I see that, which, you know, you might not, but the reason you don't like to see that is because you should love that person and you should not want that person to be in that, you know, but not everything is, you know, as big of a deal as sometimes we make it to be. I enjoyed that part as well, Shaylee. I thought it was funny. You're talking about yourself kind of not being a pushover and being a little bit of a hothead, because I remember when you, I don't know if I ever told you this, when you were first hired here, one of the elders, they asked me, they said, I don't know Shaylee very well. Is she going to, you know, be able to handle wee kids on her own? And like, cause you're over in kids zone. I was like, oh yeah, she'll be totally fine. They were like, now if somebody comes in and complains to her, she's not just going to like fold and do whatever they say. I was like, no, she'll be fine. You don't need to worry about that one. I thought that was so funny, and I just remember that. But the part of this that really stuck out to me was one thing that Bob Goff said when they were talking about feeling distracted and helping focus on where you're at and what you're doing. I think it was right after the question you referenced there at the bottom. But he says, just figure out where you are and kind of figure out what's going on. You know, I related it back to the DTR, like when you're with somebody and you don't know what's going on. It's like define the relationship. You know, you have to pause and do that. Well, it's like define your life, like figure out where you at in life right now, like figure that out first and foremost. And then he said the question to ask yourself after that is, what's the next courageous move? Not just what is your next move, not just what are you going to do next, but what's the next courageous move? And I love that because there is so much in our life that we have to be a part of or do that requires courage. And we can, you know, not have courage and fold and not go with it or maybe try to avoid it or something like that. But, you know, he's talking about here, embrace that, embrace being courageous and walk into whatever it is, whether it's, you know, something simple or whether it's, you know, the plan for your life or whatever that might be. And sometimes we might be so courageous, we want God to bring it now. And it's like, well, you know, maybe God is waiting and there's something else to be done. But, you know, that I really felt like that question kind of hit, with what a lot of life is, which is figuring out what am I going to do next that's courageous. Because we could all get in that little bit of a funk, right? Where we're, you know, like just kind of going through the motions every single day. It feels like there's nothing much changing and things like that. But you have to move. You have to do something different. So
yeah, I think people have forgotten that it's okay to take a risk. Take a leap of faith, take a risk, be courageous, stand up for something that you believe in. I think there's a lot of lack of accountability nowadays. And I honestly think social media made that easier, because you can hide behind a keyboard, and you can say whatever you want without accountability of how somebody might react to that. And I think that you just have to be courageous sometimes. Like, I know there's stuff that I feel like I've stood on a soapbox and I might be beating a dead horse and he's already dead and I'm still beating on it. To some people, but to me, like, I'm passionate about that. And, you know, I don't want that passion to die. I don't want to just lay down and give in to the things that I disagree with. I am going to stand up for what I find is wrong in a situation, or, you know, there are things that need to be changed. And the people that know me know exactly what I'm talking about. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. But, you know, some people are like, oh my gosh, let it go. But I don't want to let it go because I'm not just concerned right now. I'm concerned for the future about the thing that I get passionate about. And so, you know, I'm probably not going to back down very easily from it. I've shifted my strategy. I've changed how I approach it. I change how I do things. But that shift has made a difference. So I just keep learning how to step and shift and move it. And I'm still passionate about it. I'm still courageous about it. I'm still going to try to make a difference. And I hope, you know, I don't want the glory for the difference. That's not it. But I hope somebody sees the difference that's being made by someone else. If that makes sense. I know it makes sense because we've had the conversations. But I think, you know, you have to be courageous. You have to take a leap of faith. You have to fully trust that you're not in control of anything. You're only in control to how you react, but you're not in control of God's plan. God's going to throw you a curveball and you can either swing or you can hit, you know, take the foul, or you can get the strike, you know, however. I don't even play baseball, but there's a baseball analogy that I'm going to use because it's sometimes the best one you can use. Like, you can take the curveball, you can hit it out of the park, you may barely hit it, you may bunt it and take a step, but at least take the action. Don't cower. Like, listen to that. Like, I mean, we even had the conversation about how I've stopped listening to some of the podcasts that I used to listen to and stopped reading some of the materials that I used to read. Like, you know, I would love to read a Bob Goff book. But right now, the only thing God's telling me to really pay attention to is his word. And I don't stray too far from the word of God. Yes, I think there are some great authors. I think Bob Goff is a great author. I think that he has put God's word in a way that people can understand in his books and stuff, but I don't necessarily want Bob's perspective. I want God's perspective. I want to know that. And we, you know, we had a very, very emotional conversation one day about how that discernment has come to me. But I just have started to live in a way that if it doesn't come directly out of the Bible, then it's going to be really hard for me to want to listen to it or utilize it if it's not directly out of those pages. And, but I think that's another, just, it's another leap of faith that I've taken, that I just trust God. And that's just where I'm at right now. I'm just, I don't know.
Totally agree. Totally agree.
Yeah.
You'll have to come back for another episode of FCC Talk to hear about Shaylee's secret passion in life that she's going after. We've gone over our three topics here. Thank you so much for sharing that, Shaylee. And thank you for sharing everything that you shared in today's episode. I felt like it was really fun to think through and
very impromptu, about. But worked good.
Yep, for sure. And if, like I always say, if you want to listen to any, or if you want to read any of the content that we've referenced in today's show, go ahead and go to the description. I put all of those links in the description there, so you can do that. I just looked. Apparently, Bob Goff's Undistracted book is out now, so you can find that in Amazon. So on Amazon. So I guess the article was a little bit older than I anticipated or thought it was. So I guess it released right then. But yeah, but yeah. So Shaylee, thank you so much for joining us. Anything else before we get out of here?
I mean, the only thing we have is our big event that's coming up in our ministry.
Can't imagine what that is. What's that?
I don't know. It's that first week of June. We're already prepping for it.
Oh, yeah. VBS. VBS. I forget about that. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. VBS. We got VBS coming. I mean, I'm excited. I think our biggest, I don't know. You should tell them about our big gift to every child. That's like our main goal of VBS this year.
Yeah. Bibles. We want to give away one Bible to every kid this year at VBS. Sometimes you give them little trinkets, little toys. This year we said, why not make a goal of giving away one Bible? So, but to buy a Bible for every kid, Bibles are pretty expensive. It would be like, you know, our entire budget basically to do that. But we've given away shirts, we've given away trinkets, we've given away prizes. And so this year we're just asking the church to help us buy a Bible for every kid. So Chris has a display in the lobby. And if you want to help do that, go ahead and check out the display. I don't know if she has a count or something out there. She's keeping track of it somehow. Or just ask her how many Bibles
it's
we need.
On our Amazon wish list. So,
okay, so the count is there. Okay.
Yeah, when you go on there, it'll say like how many more we need. And our amazing congregation has almost bought all of them on our wish list. So we're getting close to having all the Bibles and all the items for crafts and decor. And the wish list items out in the foyer are more for the week of. So it's like our snacks and our meals and stuff like that. But there's plenty of ways for people to still help. And then when is our registration going live?
This weekend.
This weekend. So see, there we go. VBS is coming and we're ready to have you. And we want to put a Bible into every child's hand and teach them how to navigate it and share the word of God.
That's what we want to do. So, all right. Be on the lookout for more information about VBS. There's a very long plug this Sunday. I recorded that before I was on here and it was like 2.5 minutes long. And I was like, oh, that's my gosh, I have to talk more now. But thank you everybody for listening. Thank you, Shaylee, for being here. Have a great weekend. We'll see you later next time on FCC Talk.